The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the October 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to start with the front cover. Number of things we have here. We have an imprint of LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony, who's newly signed with the Lakers, and it calls it on the heading Power Moves. From the league that brought you The King Goes West and Canada's First Crown, Corners, the story of the 2019-2020 NBA season. We're going to go right to freeze frame, motion picture. August 18, 2019, Arlington, Texas. No, Twins pitcher Martin Perez didn't sprout five arms or grow more heads. This photo was the result of a technique called multiple exposure, in which two or more shots are taken in one frame, creating a layering effect. Perez, though, wasn't exposed on the mound, giving up two runs in a 6-3 win over the Rangers. And, of course, we have another freeze frame. That was page 4. Another freeze frame on page 2. Talk to the hand. September 1st, 2019, Norman, Oklahoma. As 84,534 Sooners fans watch with glee, receiver Jaden Hasselwood, the team's top recruit, made multiple defenders miss on this 42-yard catch and run. The play set up a score to give Oklahoma a 35-10 lead over Houston in the third quarter. The home team let up a bit, but the new-look Sooners still won 49-31. Who's who in sports? Page 8. Top line. Miro Haskinen, the fenceman for the Stars. His height is 6'1". His weight is 185 pounds. He was born July 18, 1999 in Espoo, Finland. Haskinen ranked first among rookie defensemen in goals, 12, and second in points, 33, in 2018-2019. He was selected to the All-Star game and made the NHL All-Rookie team. In Game 1 of the Stars' opening round playoff series against the Predators, Haskinen had a goal and an assist to become the fifth teenage rookie defenseman in NHL history to have at least 2 points in his postseason debut. He scored once in 5 games while playing for Finland at the 2018 Olympics. Question, where did the Stars play before they moved to Dallas before the 1993-1994 season? Answer, Minnesota, as the North Stars. Next, we have Simona Halep, tennis player, WTA Tour. Her height is 5'6". She was born September 27, 1991, in Constanta, Romania. In July, Halep, who had lost 9 of her previous 10 matches against Serena Williams, defeated Williams 6-2, 6-2 to win Wimbledon for her second Grand Slam victory. Halep also won the French Open in 2018. She hasn't been ranked lower than number 8 on the WTA Tour this year and spent all but 4 weeks of the 2018 season ranked number 1 in the world. She first took the top spot in October 2017. Halep has played in 9 Fed Cups for Romania, beginning in 2010. Question, which 5 countries border Romania? Do, 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 do Answer, Bulgaria, Hungary, Moldova, Serbia, and Ukraine. And finally for today, Carlos Vela, forward, Los Angeles Football Club. His height is 5'10", his weight is 170 pounds. He was born March 1st, 1989 in Cancun, Mexico. Vela scored in a 2-0 win over Real Salt Lake in August to bring his season goals total to 24 and set a new Major League Soccer single-season record for combined goals and assists, 39. He earned his second straight All-Star nod this summer and was named to the 2018 Major League Soccer Best 11, finishing his debut season in the United States with 14 goals and 13 assists. Before signing with Los Angeles Football Club, Vela played for Real Sociedad in Spain for 7 seasons and was twice named Club Player of the Year. Question, what is the name of the other Major League Soccer team in Los Angeles? Answer, LA Galaxy. Warm-up, page 9. Picture here of Andrew Luck walking away. Fans booed Luck as he left the field following the Colts preseason game. Burning question, can you blame him? Andrew Luck's retirement is not a tragedy, even if the circumstances of his leaving football are unfortunate. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab, and it's been unceasing, unrelenting, both in season and off season, and I felt stuck in it. The only way I see out is to no longer play football, Luck explained at a press conference announcing his retirement in August. The quarterback was not exaggerating. Rehabbing a mysterious injury, calf and ankle ailment at the time of his retirement, Luck had previously missed the entire 2017 season rehabbing a shoulder injury. Among his other notable ailments, a lacerated kidney, a partial abdominal tear, a concussion, and torn rib cartilage. The Colts had a reputation for not adequately protecting their franchise quarterback. After 174 sacks in 86 career games, it's no wonder Luck was ready to leave football. When injuries end a great athlete's career, fans tend to obsess about what could have been. Sandy Koufax had the best 4-year stretch of any pitcher in history before he abruptly retired at 30 due to arthritis. A hip injury derailed Bo Jackson's run as a two-sport athlete in the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's easy, especially given his predecessor Peyton Manning's 17-season career, to view Luck's stats as incomplete. Maybe it's that mentality that caused Colts fans to boo Luck after the preseason game during which the news of his retirement broke. Or maybe they booed him because he made SI Kids' MVP pick in last month's issue look foolish. Nobody is less deserving of his hometown jeers than Luck, a guy known for making surprise and repeat visits to kids in the local hospital. He was infamous for being congratulatory to the defensive players who knocked him to the turf. Check out video of Luck mic'd up if you don't believe me. Even if all these injuries have made Luck's last name seem ironic, he's actually still pretty, well, lucky. He played well enough and just long enough to earn around $100 million in the NFL. He didn't, for instance, suffer a career-ending injury in his first season. He also has enough money to feel comfortable retiring early. Others have likely played through similar pain trying to better set themselves up for the future. In this very space 3 years ago, kid reporter Jack Kelly interviewed Luck about his book club. It's still going strong. Check out AndrewLuckBookClub.com. When asked in that interview what he loves about reading, the quarterback replied, "I love a good story." Andrew Luck's story is not over, and the rest of it figures to be good. Maybe the Stanford standout will put his architecture degree to use and design a skyscraper. Maybe he'll want to write a book review column for a magazine. Nudge, nudge. This is both our blessing and official prediction. Best of luck. Turning the page, whatever's next for Luck, we hope it includes the continuation of his book club, which features kids' options. Unboxed. Taking the lid off the coolest sports gear. Next, we have Watch Scary Good. It's Halloween night. You're all out of candy. Now it's time to pick up your feet and watch TV. Hopefully, you'll be in for some treats this October 31st and no tricks. West Virginia at Baylor, 8 p.m. San Francisco 49ers at Arizona Cardinals. Denver Nuggets at New Orleans Pelicans. October birthdays. October 1st, Boston Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts celebrates his 27th birthday. October 2nd, Toronto Maple Leafs goalie Frederik Andersen is 30. October 5th, pitcher Tanner Roark of the Oakland A's turns 33. October 9th, USWNTN North Carolina Courage midfielder Samantha Mewis turns 27. October 14th, L.A. Rams quarterback Jared Goff celebrates his 25th birthday. October 16th, WTA Tour player and 2018 United States Open champion Naomi Osaka turns 22. October 17th, New York Jets strong safety Jamal Adams is 24. October 23rd, San Francisco 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa celebrates his 22nd birthday. October 24th, San Diego Padres first baseman Eric Hosmer turns 30. October 26th, Cincinnati Bengals cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick is 30. October 27th, three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year Lou Williams of the LA Clippers turns 33. And finally, October 30th, New York Rangers left wing Artemi Panarin celebrates his 28th birthday. Moving on to page 12, continuing with warm-up, on our radar, Michael Doolin. His height is 6'4". His birth date is October 17, 2000. His birthplace is Schererville, Indiana. His sport, baseball. While competing for Adrian High, Michael broke his own Class 3A record for strikeouts in a title game 15 and led the 59ers to a 2-1 victory over Inglewood in the 2019 state final. It was the team's second straight championship. Michael, who is now a freshman pitcher at Vanderbilt, went 14-0 with a 0.5 ERA and 131 strikeouts in 77 innings as a senior at Adrian. Over his career there, he had a 34-1 record and never gave up more than five hits in a game. As a junior, Michael went 11-1 with 129 strikeouts in 79 and two-thirds innings to help guide the 59ers to their sixth title. Sports Kids of the Month. Taylor Jenkins, 13, Milford, Connecticut. Her sport is soccer. Taylor was the captain of the under-13 National Center of Excellence team that won the Youth World Cup in Sweden. She scored once in her team's 7-0 win over Canada in the final and had seven goals in the tournament. Natsir Givens, age 13, Sanford, Florida, track and field. Natsir, an eighth grader, finished first in the 200 meters, 24.55 seconds, at the Pure Athletics Invitational. He also finished third in the 100 and the 400 meters. He has been running competitively for just 2 years. And finally, Miriam Showman, age 15, Short Hills, New Jersey, fencing. After helping Kent Play School to a third-place finish at the state finals, Miriam became the only freshman to make the individual finals, where she came in third. She was a first-team All-America at the National Championships in Columbus, Ohio. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a Sports Kid of the Month, submit your nomination at sikids.com/sportskid. Oops, page 13, capital losses. The 2010 Washington Redskins had three especially savvy young assistants on their staff. 9 years later, all are now head coaches for other teams. Matt LaFleur, now head coach of the Packers. LaFleur was once the Redskins' quarterback coach. He remained in D.C. for four seasons and eventually became Tennessee's offensive coordinator last year. Green Bay hired him last January for his first head gig. Sean McVay. Before he became the youngest head coach in NFL history with the Rams in 2017, McVay was the assistant tight ends coach for the Redskins. He would eventually rise to offensive coordinator, the position he held until Los Angeles hired him. Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan spent four seasons as Washington's offensive coordinator, coaching under his father, Mike. After directing a record-breaking offense in Atlanta in 2016, he took San Francisco's head job in 2017. It's happened before. Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry. A pair of New York Giants assistants left town and became two of the best coaches in NFL history. Lombardi, far left, was the offensive coordinator for the team that won the 1956 NFL title. Landry manned the defense. Lombardi was hired by Green Bay in 1959, and Dallas nagged Landry in 1960. The two won a combined seven championships. It would take New York 30 years to win another title. Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey's favorite things. His favorite food is sushi. Favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla. Sport other than football, track. Favorite cartoon, Phineas and Ferb. Actor, Brad Pitt. Athlete growing up, my father, former NFL receiver, Ed McCaffrey. Subject in school, writing. Musical artist, Tyler Childers. Sound off. Page 14. What would your dream ice cream sundae look like? I haven't had an ice cream sundae in a while. I would, of course, say chocolate ice cream, maybe some chocolate syrup, some fruit on it. I love fruit. That's from Katie Ledecky, 15-time world champion swimmer. Chocolate, 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 and more chocolate. I'm a big chocolate guy, so I'm going to go with chocolate with some hot fudge. Maybe a cherry or two, and some strawberries as well. That's from Matt Guzan, Atlanta Football Club goalkeeper. And finally, cookie dough ice cream, chocolate syrup, chocolate sauce, strawberries. That's from Ty Dillon, NASCAR Cup driver. Cheerleaders. Meet five marching band members who energize the college game day atmosphere in different ways. Ohio State, I dotter. The dotting of the I in this script Ohio formation above, which unfolds just as someone would write Ohio in cursive, has become one of the most famous traditions in college sports. Since 1937, a sousaphone player has gotten the job, which entails following a strutting drum major, page 17, from the top of the little O to the I, doffing her hat, bowing to both sides of the stadium, putting the hat back on, and playing Buckeye Battle Cry solo while the rest of the band sings it. A sousaphone is a tuba fashion for a marching band. The second the crowd sees the drum major pick up the sousaphone player, they know the dot is coming, and everyone starts yelling and screaming. And it's really, really exciting, says Anna Hurley, who dotted the I twice in 2018 and is in her fifth year with the band. I just tried to soak it all in as much as I could. Purdue, drum crew. The Boilermakers' 565-pound, 98-year-old percussion instrument requires four people to maneuver it and two to play it. Every member of the drum crew must complete a fitness test during tryouts. That's because during a halftime show, they can run up to 850 yards. One of the things that gets the crowd going the most are sudden stops and turns, explains crew captain Josh Siegel. We're not running the entire time, but that means that when we are running, we're sprinting. It's pretty exhausting, but it's a lot of fun. And the crew does tricks, using the drums cart as a seesaw to launch bandmates into the air, for example. The crowd loves it. We treat the drum almost as a mascot at the university, more than an instrument sometimes, says Siegel. Our big thing is fan interaction. We're talking to people throughout game day, taking pictures with them. It's a unique thing that we get to do, and we're really proud of that. Arkansas, feature twirler. Not all members of the band play an instrument. Fifth-year senior Savannah Miller below twirls up to five batons at football and basketball games. The crowd is amazed because baton twirling is unique, and not a lot of people get to see it, she says. The Razorbacks have a majorette line of around 10 twirlers, but Miller, who has earned more than 20 national and international titles, is a feature twirler. That means she designs her own choreography. Having free rein on the field has its drawbacks, though. Miller has the tricky job of weaving between instrument-toting musicians. She has run into a snare drum and broken a trombone. I'm notorious for doing that, she says with a laugh. Miller practices with her bandmates for up to 2.5 hours, 3 days a week, as well as before games. The time commitment is worth the effort for her when she sees how the fans react. Says Miller, the whole point of college twirling is to get the crowd excited. Oklahoma drum major. How do you head a 300-piece band with confidence, humility, and positivity, says Julie Seiberts on the right, who graduated in May after serving as her school's first female drum major for 2 years. In addition to helping direct the band, Seiberts led the Pride of Oklahoma onto the field with the signature strut of a drum major. The strut is a popular tradition at OU in which the drum major strides down the field with his or her body bent as far backward as possible after doing 64 goose kicks or high steps. There was so much physical activity. I don't even know what was going to be involved, says Seiberts. While everyone else was warming up on their instruments, I was stretching. With a role comes a lot of responsibility and public pressure. But, as Seiberts, a fourth-generation OU music major, puts it, it was probably the most challenging but most rewarding experience I've ever had. Now a high school band director with a drum major of her own, Seiberts sure is strutting her stuff. Grambling State Tiger Marching Band. Finally, lugging a 25-pound instrument around is hard enough, but when you also have to high-step your way around the field for the country's most famous band, the style that we do here at Grambling is different from any other school, says Tyrese Bellard, a sophomore sousaphone player. You're working out muscles that you're not used to working out while you march. I was sore at first. Grambling style requires extra attention to detail to avoid ankle or knee injuries. Cautions Ballard, turn on the balls of your feet. If not, you could be out for the whole year. Prime time. Jake Fromm, team Georgia Bulldogs, position quarterback. Spotlight, for the first time, this homegrown star won't have to battle for the starting job. Now the junior quarterback can focus on winning while still enjoying the occasional fishing break. It's the last day before football workouts begin, and Jake Fromm is cruising down a back road, singing along with country music. He's heading for the Georgia countryside to spend his final morning of freedom fishing on his buddy's farm. He passes cows and haystacks until he reaches the property with the red dirt road. Beyond the main house is a modest pond tucked near the woods. This is Fromm's happy place. This 182-acre farm, about 25 minutes east of the University of Georgia. He started coming here his freshman year, around the time he became the Bulldogs' starting quarterback. It's definitely an escape for me, he says. Fromm has spent plenty of time on this pond, reflecting. In his first 2 years at Georgia, he faced more pressure, more scrutiny than just about anyone in college football. He went through two high-profile quarterback battles. He split practice reps, faced countless headlines about his play, and had to continually fight for his starting job. Each time, Fromm survived and emerged a better player. Battle scars. Fromm grew up in Warner Robins, Georgia, and that's where he learned to fish, hunt, and love football, specifically Bulldog football. His family often built its weekends around watching games. When Jake was a junior at Houston County High, he was a four-star recruit. But Mark Reich, then the Georgia coach, didn't offer him a scholarship. Reich had signed a letter of intent from five-year quarterback Jacob Eason, who was a year older than Fromm. So in October 2015, Fromm verbally committed to Alabama. Through the recruiting process, the Fromms became particularly close with one assistant, Kirby Smart, the Tide's defensive coordinator. Smart had grown up in Georgia and played for the Bulldogs. Then, a month later, Georgia fired Reich and replaced him with Smart. One of Smart's first acts was making sure that Eason would honor his commitment. Not long after that, though, Smart offered Fromm a scholarship, too. Fromm started campaigning for the job well before enrolling in January 2017. As a high schooler, he'd drive to Athens and sit in on quarterback meetings. Jake understood what was going on, Smart says. His mindset was, I'm as smart as those guys. I'm going to outwork them, and I'll end up beating somebody out. Fromm graduated from high school a semester early and immersed himself in the playbook, but no amount of studying could make up for a lack of experience, and Eason had that. He had started all but one game the year before in an 8-5 season. Smart named him the starter in July. Not knowing how much he'd play that fall, Fromm began asking around for good hunting spots in the area. The team trainer's son, a walk-on long snapper, mentioned he had a friend with a farm just east of campus. They made plans to go dove hunting the day Sunday after Georgia's season opener against Appalachian State. Then on the third drive of the game, Eason sprained a ligament in his left knee and Fromm took over. He played well enough, 143 yards, one touchdown, to lead Georgia to a 31-10 win. The next day, Fromm woke up early and visited his happy place for the first time. As a freshman, Fromm didn't put up flashy numbers, 2,615 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, a 62.2% completion rate, but he showed poise beyond his years. Competitive nature. Smart had seen all this unfolding, Fromm pushing Eason out, and he made a contingency plan for Eason's potential departure. Midway through Fromm's breakout season, Smart secured a commitment from the top recruit in the country, a dual-threat quarterback from Kennesaw, Georgia named Justin Fields. Smart offered him the same opportunity he had presented Fromm, a chance to compete for the job. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.